Now, the African National Congress has once again extended the deadline for the party's branches to finish their meetings and submit nominations for the leadership race next month. The initial deadline lapsed last week, and Secretary General Gwede Mantashe extended the grace period to this past Sunday. Earlier today, ANC spokesperson Zizi Kodwa said the branches have until the weekend to make their submissions. He stated that there is still a high number of branches that may want to convene in other meetings for one reason or the other. With less than 30 days to go until the ANC's elective conference, political analyst Lukona Mguni now joins me on the line for some analysis and, of course, implications of the latest move ahead of that conference. Lukona, good evening. Welcome. I haven't spoken to you in a while, so a big welcome to you on the program.
Good evening, Karima, and good evening to your listeners. Good to be back.
Yes. Now, of course, we've got momentous developments to the north of us in Zimbabwe, but we've got to continue, of course, focusing on what's happening here, particularly in our own ruling party, ZANU-PF, apparently meant to be going to an elective conference about a week before the African National Congress. But we need to get to grips with what is happening. We've seen this process around nominations, of course, being bedeviled by all manner of things, court cases, deadlines, poor infrastructure, poor leadership, manipulation, the latest extension. Is it a function of a complete organizational and administrative breakdown that we've had another extension? I mean, we're under 30 days now to conference. Or is it an attempt by the ANC to ensure that as many structures as possible engage in the process so that whatever is the outcome of the conference, that it is not, drawn into question?
Karima, it's a function of a few things, I think. Firstly, the obvious, there being the number of factions or a number of interest groups that want to have a go at power, it makes it impossible for the administrators of the ANC to seem as though they are shutting the door on one of the interest groups or the other. So there being a lot of interest groups, there are a lot of people putting pressure on the secretary to make sure that as many branches as possible get an opportunity to nominate. The second one is that it communicates the burdensome process that the ANC is actually caught up in. I mean, this idea of very large branches over vast areas. For example, if you have branches as wards, you've got some that are comprised of four villages. It's very difficult to get people to come to meetings at times and actually get the right quorum. So you also have that. Of course, in other instances, you are trying to eliminate this issue where branches are not sitting because regional deployees are either pitching up in meetings without the BGM packs, or they are pitching up and then they are descending those meetings into chaos. So you want to iron out, because the ANC has learned over time that if you don't do this properly, it opens you up to a court challenge on irregularity of processes or on injustice committed to those that were not given an opportunity to actually have their branch outcomes. Mm-hmm. The problem with it, Karima, is that it then pushes forward and bulks up the other processes. Your disputes.
Yes. And of course, more importantly, your provincial conferences, because, I mean, the provincial infrastructure is necessary for the names to get onto the ballot, isn't it? And the longer you take with the branch nominations, the more difficult it is for that level, for the process to move up to that level.
Certainly, that is the case. But if I am reading the processes well, even without provincial general councils, you can still tally up the votes, because the branches have been submitting to the electoral college. So the consolidation of the branch nominations, because it's no longer where you have a nomination conference and, you know, the delegates that have been chosen to go to conference sort of get there to the nominating conference and then nominate the list, and then from that meeting. Now we are consolidating these branch packs, these branch nominations, and that can happen without a PGC. But in that PGC, because it would be a PGC of delegates, I'm of the view that they would also nominate, because not all PEC members get to attend this conference of the ANC. it's a portion of them and not all of, and there must be a process that makes sure that they are elected to actually go and attend the conference. So it does, yes, postpone that, but also, of course, it makes us continue to have a discussion about projections towards conference in limbo, where PGCs are unable to conclude. Where you have a problem, Karima, for example, with the Northern Cape, has already pronounced last weekend what the outcomes are. Now, in terms of the branch audit outcome, there were about 190, 193 that had passed, and only about 180-something actually held their BGMs. Now, what happens to the other 11 that didn't manage to hold their general meetings?
Lukuna,
still hold and then go back to the province.
Let me come to the specifics of KwaZulu-Natal. We've had a situation where only 40% of the branches there have actually concluded BGMs. That was according to the Secretary General. That figure is now disputed by the the provincial structure there. And we also have a situation where at least 100 branches in KwaZulu-Natal are complaining that their processes were in fact fraught with difficulty, some calling into question the decisions that have been made. And then this morning news came through of a young delegate that was from a branch who had chosen Cyril Ramaphosa as their candidate was shot and killed, and concern expressed. Now, all of these examples, of course, point to the larger problems that the entire process is saddled with. But in the specifics of KwaZulu-Natal, it makes it difficult for this province to behave and act as if it is a kingmaker. And it was considered a kingmaker because it's supposed to be the stronghold of NDZ. And it's also supposed to be the bulk of where the delegates are coming from. But can it still claim that status considering these difficulties and these challenges?
Well, I think we quite have good consensus now that KZN can't claim to be a kingmaker because of the serious divisions that are inherent in the province over, and have been in the making over the last 2 years since the provincial conference. Actually, not since the provincial conference, since the aborted Etiaguini region conferences leading to the provincial conference and then subsequent to that. So I think we can safely say KZN is not a kingmaker. A kingmaker is someone who's coming with a province with seriously large numbers that are singing in one voice, and they can literally swing conference to one candidate or the other. And that kingmaker is someone who then bargains, and whichever direction they sort of point towards, we think that's where the direction of conference voting will go in a context of factionalized politics. Yes, the idea that there might still be some intimidation happening, and the fellow that you talk about, a young man, I remember his surname because we happen to share a surname, I do not know him, he's a Munguni,
yes.
And he's from Kempa Town. And in that area, this is the second killing in the last, I can think back, about 3 or 4 months, a councillor was killed there. It's an Mkambatini area, local municipality. And this, of course, means, one, you can either connect it to the reality that that branch had nominated Cyril Ramaphosa, or we need to dig deeper and try and connect it to the last, to the previous killing in the same municipality, because the fellow was also one of the local players in the politics of that area. So it's important again to start digging and keeping track what might really be behind the cause of this killing. Of course, the political motivated killings never have conclusion, but of course, we've always stated that there are two waves of these local government elections and the national conference of the ANC, and it does seem that we might see tensions rising up to this level of intimidation. Of course, then, Karima, one must say the nomination of delegates happens. And then if your branch had two delegates, then they also have to have substitute delegates in the event that something happens.
Yes.
So the branch general meeting itself is not thrown off. They don't have to go back. Then the substitute delegate just has to take that position and then go to conference.
The problem, of course, is that other people are then in play. And even though the branches has a mandate to vote in a particular way, when people are at conference, that might change. So if one sees an increase in the harassment or the killing of delegates who have pronounced in a particular way, this will, of course, raise concern.
Well, certainly it does raise concern. It does seek to intimidate. But again, the entire logic of transferred responsibility by a branch to individuals really talks to the ease at which the will of the branch members can be circumvented. One wonders whether or not you need as a branch, once you have determined through a democratic process, to actually propose delegates who may outdo that democratic process by virtue of voting for a different person than the person the branch has proposed. And I hear that this is happening quite a lot on both sides of the divide, where people are acting as decoys of sorts.
Yes.
And, you know, their branch proposes one person, yet in actual fact, the people that are going to vote, they say, we come into a meeting singing, you know, Siyavuma, or we are ready, whichever one is popular, so that we can be delegates. But we know what we are going to do in conference. And these are the things that really makes the whole issue very complicated. But it points to a system whose time needs to come to an end.
In fact, let me come in there, Lukona. I mean, surely this system is anarchic. It is in a time warp. The ANC needs a different organizational culture. It needs a different voting system.
No, certainly, and I think we spent a good time with Vukani Mdee and Eusebius Makeza sometime in the last 2 weeks talking exactly about this issue of the principle of one member, one vote, where the ANC runs a fair process where each and every member has an opportunity to cast a vote for their preferred leader. It would remove a lot in terms of slate politics, in terms of manipulation, in terms of buying of votes. You can't buy 700,000 votes, but you surely can almost buy a sizable portion of 4,000 votes. And there's a lot of money. I mean, if people are making billions out of corruption, then it doesn't matter if you deploy 10% of those billions just to make sure that you can influence conference outcome and continue to be in that pound seat. So there's definitely going to be a lot of horse trading. There's going to be a lot of money spent towards conference. And it's going to happen on both sides of the divide, because there are problematic power brokers on both sides of this factional divide. Well, I think you and I, Karima, can now agree to an extent that it's a two-horse race. A surprise third way would be a surprise.
Absolutely. That is where we leave it. Thank you very much to Lukona Mguni, political analyst, talking through the extension process of a branch nomination.